And Thanksgiving's going to have to look different this year.
Today, we're urging everybody to make a difficult choice this Thanksgiving. If we treat this year just like we treat every other Thanksgiving, it's quite likely that it will trigger a significant spread.
Yeah, earlier today, Governor Baker asked people to gather just with immediate households, which means a lot of people are going to cancel plans. People are planning to stay home. I know I called off the last vestige of a gathering with my longtime bubble, you know what, an hour and a half ago. I want to talk about that. We all do. What are you doing for Thanksgiving this year? Are you changing your plans? Are they still in flux? How are you feeling about it? You know, do you know what's going to be different? Do you know what you're going to preserve? Do you have plans for how you're going to find joy if it's going to be very different? And also, are you still trying to figure out what to do? Because we can also talk about what's safe, how to be together safely if you have to be. Maybe gathering is inevitable for you, like a college student coming home. Taking calls on all of it. 800-423-8255. Excuse me. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston, and we have two great guests for this conversation. We have Dr. Cassandra Pierre, an infectious disease physician and assistant professor of medicine at Boston University School of Medicine. Dr. Pierre is also the medical director of public health programs and the associate hospital epidemiologist at Boston Medical Center. We also have Beth Tytel, a good friend of the show, a Boston Globe reporter who has been writing on this. Welcome back to both of you.
Wonderful to be Thanks. Here.
So I think I should ask of each of you first, what are your plans for Thanksgiving? Dr. Pierre, do you mind sharing?
Absolutely. I'm a bit saddened. I had, in the summer when things looked better, thought about, you know, a multi-pronged 10-point plan to get people safely, a group of 10 less into our household to have Thanksgiving. But about a few weeks ago, I realized that was not going to happen. So just having Thanksgiving with our immediate family, and we will have a walk in the park 6 feet apart with the grandparents.
Beth, how about you?
We're also just going to have our immediate family. My in-laws live close, but we'll probably just maybe do a drive-by to say hi to them. And I was realizing I've been doing, as you were saying, so much reporting on it that I hadn't thought about my own feelings because I was talking to other people about theirs. And when I was just talking to my mother earlier today, when we realized that we decided we'd separately make this apple dessert, that we're the only two people who like it in the whole group of 12 that usually gather. So we decided we'd each in our own places make a single serving of the apple dessert and do it that way.
It's kind of ironic that you're the only two people who like it, and now there's going to be twice as much of it, basically.
Exactly.
So, Dr. Pierre, I talked about what Governor Baker said today. We know Marty Walsh has also been, you know, Mayor of Boston has been very clear. He would like people to stay within their individual households. Can you tell us what the CDC guidance is and if there's any other official guidance around Thanksgiving gathering this year?
Yeah, well, I will say that the guidance in general has been for any in-person gathering indoors has been to keep it at 10 people or less. With the rising rates of COVID-19 across the country, many leaders, including Anthony Fauci, have tried to lead by example by saying that they are not going to be having their own Thanksgiving dinner, including with their adult children, and looking for different ways, as you've mentioned, to find joy. The line from public health officials and infectious disease doctors and the medical establishment alike has been to, whenever possible, enjoy Thanksgiving within your own bubble and preserve as many future Thanksgivings down the line to be healthy as they can be.
Let's go straight to the phones here, 800-423-8255. Pull up a chair to our table and join this conversation. We've got Laura on the line from Mattapan. Laura, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was just calling because I'm having a non-traditional in-house potluck with my partner and our two roommates. None of us has ever done a turkey, so we're afraid to do it. So we're each just going to make a dish that we like and that we know everyone else likes and have a meal after we go to Plymouth to be with the Indigenous people for their 50th anniversary.
Thanks for the call, Laura. As the turkey cooker in my house, I think a healthy fear of cooking a turkey is actually probably appropriate. So, Beth, you've done some writing on this. Laura's talking about, you know, we're going to do things differently. We're going to join with others in the experience they're having on Thanksgiving. What are you hearing about people's relationships between tradition and this Thanksgiving?
Oh, well, first of all, I think that the lock that the turkey has had on Thanksgiving is going to be broken. I think a lot of people are going to be freed from making the turkey, like Laura is, and like you're saying, you're nervous about it. People might think, well, there's no one observing me. I'm not doing it this year. And I wonder next year if people are like, not going to do it all. I'm thinking that this year is going to be, the Thanksgiving story is going to just be the sides. You know, everybody just likes the sides the best anyway. one thing I was struck by was Thanksgiving has always been a holiday that's about a number. People say, how many people are you having? And the answer was always, we're having 15, and that was who was coming. And you would tell my grandmother, my brother from California, this person. This year, it's also about a number, but the number tells a different story. It's a sad one. It's who's not coming. Well, we're only going to be four because my Aunt Donna's not going to pick up my grandmother on the Cape. This isn't going to happen. I guess it'll make us really appreciate next year's Thanksgiving, since Thanksgiving had been a holiday that there were sort of two parallel stories. There was, oh, we love being with family. And then there was like Thanksgiving. Like people were so afraid of Thanksgiving. All the stories are about the stress of dealing with your toxic family. But now people are missing that. Like I myself, I'm always stressed when I have to cook a turkey. But now I'm kind of missing that stress. The anticipatory non-stress is saddening me.
It's like condition dependent. So Dr. Pierre, we have this group of people who are for sure going to travel on Thanksgiving, which is some college students who are returning home. Governor Baker issued some new guidance as far as college students who are planning to return home. I want to play that for you. Here's his new guidance. This is for both on and off campus students.
Any students leaving campus to go home for the holidays should first receive a negative COVID-19 test administered by the college within 72 hours of their planned departure. And if possible, residential colleges should also offer COVID-19 tests to students who live off campus who plan to return home.
Now, we know many universities, not all, but many have the capacity to meet that threshold. So let's assume a student gets the test. Let's review again, a negative test 72 hours before their planned departure. What does that mean about their likelihood of having the infection 72 hours later?
Yeah, that's a great question. It may be a false sense of assurance. It is certainly good to go ahead and get the test before leaving to know about your risk. But within 72 hours leaves a lot of time. People might decide to go to a party right before they leave. And even if they are truly negative when they leave, the act of traveling itself implies some risk and exposure to infection on the way there, especially with close, public and non-public modes of transportation. We actually have seen a case here where a daughter returning from college was negative prior to leaving, linked up with a person who was not from her social group before going and after her test, and did not quarantine when she came home, and unfortunately exposed and infected her mother. So I do think that even though the testing is important, I would recommend that if possible, those students also get tests after returning home and maybe even quarantine for a few days, which seems so unnatural, but does increase the safety of their return.
Okay, let's go back to the calls. They are coming in, 800-423-8255. Let's talk to Tom from Norwood. Tom, go ahead.
This is going to be the best Thanksgiving ever. And the reason is because it's going to be different. You know, we're going to remember this for years to come. 20 years from now, we're going to remember this Thanksgiving because of how screwed up it was. And on top of that, not everybody is going enjoys Thanksgiving. You know, seeing their relatives that they might love and hate, hearing the same stories over and over again, eating the same food over and over again. You know, this is going to be different and more memorable, I think. And next,
so Tom,
my
chuckle.
Year from, yeah,
no, no,
next,
go, go.
Next year, it'll be in the typical Thanksgiving, but this is going to be better because it'll be different.
So my chuckle was just, honestly, gratitude for your optimism. It's a rough conversation, rough day. Beth, let me give you a chance to react to Tom there.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good point. A lot of people before this year, I was always writing stories about people dreading Thanksgiving with their families, and in fact had come up with an idea where instead of having to travel to see a family that might cause you some anxiety, you could be matched with a local family. So everybody would stay put and just have like, okay, I'm going to spend the time with this family and they're going to make me feel bad in these certain ways, but at least I don't need to travel for it. But, you know, I think that there is some comfort that I agree completely with the caller that for a lot of people it is a hard time, but I think that for a lot of people they do it is important because they, that tradition does kind of ground them, and they it sort of sets their in, their calendar. I was looking at this quote from Mayor Walsh, and he said, "We don't want to do this, but as the holidays go on, people are going to call 911," meaning that if you have more than 10 people, you could have your neighbors calling to rat you out. So I was thinking that suppose you did want to have more than 10 people, you'd have to have your relatives dressed as service people so they could come in under the guise of actually doing some work on your house and then stay for Thanksgiving dressed in regular clothes and then change. But it is going to be an unusual one. You're certainly right about that.
So I'm just gonna clarify, Beth, that you are not actually recommending that people disguise themselves and go into other people's homes.
Okay, good point. I'm not actually suggesting that, but it has gotten. I got a PR pitch from a major grocer that's offering Thanksgiving insurance. If you buy a turkey, I guess people are not buying turkeys. They're saying if you buy a turkey from us, they've teamed up with Progressive Insurance, and you mess up, like you don't have the bird fails. They're going to give you, you can put in a claim for $35, but it's only it's limited to the first 1,000 people who put in a claim. So you might want to do it soon.
Yeah. And listen, Beth, we actually have the quote from Mayor Walsh. I think it's worth hearing. So we're going to play it here. Yeah. I think this was today.
As the holidays go on, people are going to call 911, police are going to show up if they get called to a scene, and they're going to be notifying inspection service that are going to come out and be finding landlords and tenants. Quite honestly, if this gets to the point where we have to do that, I mean, we don't want to do that. I mean, that's the last thing I want to do on Thanksgiving. But and I know people aren't agreeing with what I'm saying right now, but the numbers aren't lying. The coronavirus numbers are going up. This is real.
And I do want to correct myself there. Sorry, that was yesterday, not today. Let's go back to the phones, 800-423-8255. We've got Gabby on the line from Medford. Gabby, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I have plans as of now to get together with my family, but that involves three different households. And I can keep on rationalizing ways why it should be fine, reasons why it should be fine, because we're all going to get tested, including the two little kids, and two of the households have seen each other recently anyway. But now that this new guideline has come out, I'm really thinking I should question that, and I know that everyone else in my family will be quite disappointed if I do question that, but I'm just looking for some advice on that. And we are less than 10 people in total.
Thanks for that, Gabby. Dr. Pierre, this one feels kind of made for you. What would your advice to Gabby be?
Yeah, so I would say that you would honestly need to assess your own risk tolerance. Obviously, the only way to completely remain safe is to remain completely isolated. And also, if there's anyone in that group that's elderly, immunosuppressed, or has a serious underlying medical condition, then you need to weigh the risks of having the holiday celebration against that benefit. If that doesn't apply to you, then you need to ensure that everyone is committed equally to infection prevention recommendations. And I say this because the other part of my job in public health is about harm reduction. So we know that people will do things that are not necessarily what the guidance is, but I want to make sure that if they do, they have the things at their disposal that will allow them to reduce risk of exposure and infection. So quarantining as much as possible, staying home if you can and working from home for as long as you can, ideally 14 days, but obviously we're less than that out now. So as much time as you can, not going out with people outside of your bubble, and also trying to be aware of the other things that cause you risk without you being aware of it. For example, being in a poorly ventilated space for long periods of time. So I'm thinking about, unfortunately, places like the gym and indoor restaurants, limiting your exposure to those as well. The testing was mentioned. I think that's great. But as we mentioned one test might not be sufficient and may lead you to have a false sense of security. I would actually recommend kind of stacking testing if you have the option to do so, getting tested maybe now and then again a day or two before for better potentially reliability and more assurance that you may be actually negative. You've already limited the guest list, so kudos on that. That's great. Try to ventilate if possible. Open up the windows. Maybe put in an air purifier. If it's unseasonably warm, which I don't think is on the forecast, but if it is, think about having as much as the celebration, especially the eating component, outside if you can.
All right, let's go back to the phones here. We've got more calls, 800-423-8255. Michael's calling from Wayland. Michael, go ahead.
Thanks. So my saintly wife has arranged for us to deliver meals to people during Thanksgiving, people who wouldn't have those delivered otherwise. And so I guess my Thanksgiving number won't be as much about who's not at the table, but, you know, who we can kind of, how many people we can get meals to. Thank goodness for my wife.
Oh, that sounds great. Michael, before you go, let me ask you, do you have a sense of how many meals you'd like to get to people? Are you talking two or three, or what's your goal?
Last year we got a whole bunch made, but the making of the meals was in a group context, and so that is out. So the delivery wasn't, we only managed to get to three or four families, but we managed to assemble quite a few. I don't know how mm-hmm. the process works this year, but it's just, I don't know, it's a way to focus not so much on what you don't have, but on, you know, all that we do. And I'm just, I don't know, seems like the spirit of the holiday.
It does, Michael. Thanks for that. And Dr. Pierre, I'm going to come back to you for just a second and then go to Beth. Michael's making me think if there are others who are inspired by him or doing something similar. Let's talk about safety and food delivery. So what needs to happen there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to thank Michael and Tom for their optimism. I feel like they're going to live longer, different types of optimism. But I think there are definitely some ground rules for this in terms of the process. Clearly, as Michael acknowledges, the group setting for meal preparation is out of the question at this point, unless it's with the people that are already within your household. So putting someone on Zoom or putting on some good music while you're preparing the food would be the best way to go about it. When you're boxing, probably leaving those things on the doorstep, you can certainly hand it over to the people if there, you know, no, there is no harm in handing it over to people. Certainly don't come in if they, you know, ask you if they're nice and try to be or enact the pre-COVID model of hospitality by trying to invite you in for a drink. But, you know, leaving on the doorstep or handing it over is certainly safe. Obviously, bringing hand sanitizer with you will be great. I also just want to mention something quickly about food allocation within a household, especially if you are combining households for a dinner. I would recommend that the server be limited to one individual to limit congregation around the food. That's also a touch point where we see a lot of exposure and infection.
And Beth, you know, to this idea of refocusing your Thanksgiving to what you can be grateful for, service to others, ways to show up for other people, even when we do it from afar. Again, you talk to a lot of people as you're writing your pieces and getting a sense of where people's heads and hearts are. So I want to give you a chance to weigh in on that and respond to that.
Oh, you know, first of all, I just love the idea of doing service to others. It's just wonderful. I think what people find really important about the holiday is connecting with family members in person that they, you know, you don't always get to see them. But I was thinking about a Zoom, not a traditional Zoom Thanksgiving where you have two groups doing a big Zoom, which can sometimes be hard to, it can be hard. Like if you have 12 people on a Zoom, you're not having a one-on-one conversation. I was thinking about having the Zoom link open for a long time and people just kind of wander by and talk to whoever they want, whoever is, you know, happens to be on the Zoom link on the other side. You can even have three or four families doing that. I was talking about that with someone and they said, just make sure that if you're gossiping, you're not caught on some kind of hot mic or something. But I thought that was sort of a nice way, or maybe also just having a phone call. Like everybody takes, you know, it's so nice to take a walk with your family, but maybe even go for a walk by yourself and call someone that you, maybe a relative who you usually would have Thanksgiving with, but you wouldn't call. So you can really have a nice one-on-one conversation. That might be a way to really bring some depth and some warmth to the holiday.
I'd love to get one more call in. So we've got Peter from Plymouth. Peter, you are up.
Okay, yes. It's a really odd parallel. We moved to Plymouth just this year, and in Plymouth, it's the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims arriving. And in 1620, everybody was sick. And so we're pushing off our big Plymouth Thanksgiving until next year, like the Pilgrims did in 1621. So the real Thanksgiving was next year. So for us, it seems almost natural living in Plymouth to push it off 1 year.
Peter, I appreciate that point. And I also want to let listeners know we have started to do some stuff on Radio Boston around the 400th anniversary. We talked to a Wampanoag historian actually about that time and the point Peter just made. We're going to do more of that. Dr. Pierre, not the first time that we, in our American history and human history, that we have had to deal with pandemics and the way they interfere with how we interact with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know that there are vestiges still from the 1918-1919 flu pandemic. Think ways, big and small, that it's changed our society. People have talked about the fact that we don't have spittoons in restaurants anymore, which I am appreciative for, I guess. And I think, as you know, as has already been discussed and Beth has mentioned, I think this will change our sense of whether we want to adhere to tradition or not. I do think that I actually disagree with Tom, the previous caller, about whether next season's Thanksgiving will be memorable, because I think it will happen with a vengeance, especially if we feel like we are, you know, able to do so. The vaccines may not be the magic bullet, but I think that we certainly have an opportunity in this time of stress and crisis to be innovative, and also take with us what we think is meaningful about this holiday. So having a smaller gathering is medically and public health-wise necessary, and may also lead to a more intimate gathering and sharing.
And to part of Peter's point with being in Plymouth, there are many for whom Thanksgiving has meaning, but it's negative meaning. You know, if the Indigenous community celebrates a National Day of Mourning on Thanksgiving. So I want to be aware of all the different ways that people come to and encounter this particular holiday. With that, Beth, we have limited time left. I do want to take a minute to pivot again to gratitude. There are moments in life where we have an opportunity to mark what we appreciate. How are you thinking about that?
You know, I love that. Earlier in the pandemic, I talked to it was actually fairly early, but I guess enough time had gone on. People were talking about having a number of people existential crises. This pause allowed them to look at how they had been living and to see whether it was how they wanted to continue living. And I think that a day like Thanksgiving really gives us an extra opportunity to do that, to say, am I happy with how, am I making other people feel good? Am I doing enough for other people? Not even, I mean, in big ways too, but even in small ways, like am I being a good enough friend or good enough daughter or mother, whatever your, you know, role is. So I'm hoping that this Thanksgiving is really a time to give thanks for what we have and to also reflect on maybe how we can help make the world just a little bit nicer.
And that is a great note to stop. That is Beth Tytel of the Boston Globe and Dr. Cassandra Pierre, an infectious disease physician and assistant professor of medicine at Boston University School of Medicine. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.